you could see the empathy in their face of, oh my God, I can't even imagine being brought up a girl and being a boy.
This is WJCT's What It's Like, where people share just that. We're starting with some of the most compelling conversations recorded in Jacksonville by StoryCorps, the national story archiving nonprofit, and following up with even deeper looks. Interviews recorded by me, Lindsay Kilbride, outside of StoryCorps' mobile storytelling booth. 51-year-old Anunnaki Ray Marquez has been married to 52-year-old James Bunce for more than 20 years, but they've only been husbands for 4 years. Anunnaki is intersex. Although he was raised female, he was born with both male and female characteristics. Being intersex can mean a few different things, he says, including being born with genitals in between the typical male and female types, having both kinds of reproductive tissues, both types of chromosome combinations, and sometimes it means the hormones released during puberty don't match what's on your birth certificate.
In my case, my variation is a mixture of having intersex genitals. There's things going on with my reproductive system that are also both, and then my hormones. I am one of the first who has doctors that are now recognizing that this isn't my condition, that this is genuinely my biological sex.
His biological sex, meaning not his disorder and not a problem. In 2014, he started going by he, stopped blocking his testosterone, started growing a beard, and stayed with James, his husband, whom he talked to in the StoryCorps booth.
Learning about transphobia as an intersex person was one of the hardest things to wake up to, because I'm technically not simply a transgender person. And to know that hate is the same hate that we've received, and the homophobia is the same that gay people receive. We can't even walk freely in the park holding hands anymore without it being a conscious thing. Every time we hold hands, we have to know if we're safe or where are we, who's around us, where before we didn't even think twice about it.
No one gave you a dirty look before. People crossed the street with their children. Some father saw us and immediately herded their kids across the street.
They might
get as far away from us as possible.
They might catch the gay cooties.
That's it. Yeah.
Yeah, that kind of thing feels pretty miserable.
Well, like, through all this, the lessons we've learned about relationships, on what we've been through, how it's tested us and ways unimaginable.
Despite not neatly fitting into a male or female box, Anunnaki, which is his new name, was labeled female on his birth certificate and made to go to therapy to reinforce it.
Your parents didn't say you're intersex.
Never.
Did they say you had a medical condition, though? Did they say why you were in therapy?
Yeah, that was pretty obvious. When I was 3 and 4 years old, I knew I was a boy, and there was a clear problem there. Like a transgender man, my body is more female appearing. And I hate to say that, because intersex is intersex and a trans man is a man. But the reason why I'm saying that is to help you to see where my parents were at. They had a daughter due to these genitals that needed to be brought up, a girl that was coming out of the closet at 3 and 4 as a boy.
What do you remember about your therapy?
They paired me up with this little boy. I remember feeling painfully sorry for this kid because, unlike me, he thought he was a girl. And I, you know, in my innocence, we're two boys. It's not like I knew why I was being paired with this child. Mm. So they took that opportunity to brainwash you into believing this dogma, this ideal. They literally bring out these dolls with genitals, and they taught both of us who we were.
Anunnaki met James, his future husband, in junior high band class, but reconnected in 1989 at a dance club in Colorado.
You know, it was very anxiety provoking for me to explain to him how I'm different. That's exactly the same era when all these 80s androgynous rock stars were coming out. And even though I didn't have the word intersex to use, I did know what gay meant. And I literally told one of my first boyfriends I felt like a gay boy. And it got me beaten up.
By him?
Brutally beat me up. And that's how intimidating those kind of things are when you are a marginalized person. Mm-hmm. So I learned very young in age that you better conform, you better be as heterosexual appearing and heterosexual as possible. So by 1993, I'm taking more estrogen. Well, I actually started more estrogen and stuff at 15, 16 years old. But by the time 1993 comes around, and we're married in 1995, I was already on testosterone blockers, extra estrogen, extra progesterone. I'm literally, I guess I'm going to use the word transitioning into a woman from what would have been my intersex self.
It wasn't until 2014 he'd stopped doing that. Not only does Anunnaki present as a man now, an intersex, nonconforming, androgynous gay man specifically, James, his husband, is also now seen as gay.
Do you remember what happened with the first conversation and how you reacted?
I freaked out.
Really?
Yeah, because first thing that went through my mind was someone with a great big bushy beard and all this worst case and everything. And then the fear that we would appear as a gay couple now. That was a weird thing to become aware of, people staring at you and everything. I had a hard time when he started living up, misgendering him a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And
because how many years was it into your marriage?
26 years. And then all of a sudden, one day, my pronouns are he and him now. It was hard at first adjusting. I mean, it was a major life change for me. I stayed in the closet for quite a while, just out of fear and everything, and that. And God, it took a while. Then I started telling some people, but I've changed, and you know, it's how fears play in your mind when you're going to tell somebody something. You know, I'd always think worse fear and everything, but it's became a lot easier now.
Did you always know you were going to stay?
Deep down, yeah, but there was a lot of real rough times. It was extremely difficult. I think I was my own worst enemy. But I knew we could get through it and everything because it was mainly me who had to adjust and accept things and that. But I always knew we would get through it. I never even considered leaving. You know, I might have threatened it or something, but in my heart, no, I couldn't imagine my life without him.
So after changing to who you truly are, it also changed who James is, in a way. Did you ever feel guilty about that?
It wasn't so much that I felt guilty. I felt like it was impossible for him to love me. So when he started saying he was loving me more, I couldn't believe it. And I think one of the reasons why I couldn't believe it is I'm being told by everybody around me that they don't believe it. You know, everybody had it in their head that he was going to leave me.
But as he changed, the relationship actually got better, they say. There were lots of side effects from all the medications keeping him female, meaning he used to use a wheelchair and slept most of the day.
What the world also doesn't seem to realize is when I was living as female and hormonally female, there was no sex life. We were completely asexual. We were roommates. And people don't know that part of the story. So when my endocrinologist brings back my body to being sexually functioning again, and we're now, for the first time in a decade and a half, actually making love, I know that people are trying to mean well when they want to erase that because maybe they couldn't cope with it.
And he was no longer experiencing a deep depression. His decision to stop forcing himself to be female came at a time when he had been contemplating suicide. But unlike James, many family members and friends did abandon them.
Who were you most surprised didn't stand by you?
Countless friends. Typically, the women that, especially my one friend of 28 years at the time, they literally came to me, and it was more than one person, but it was the same mindset of I had lied to them and I deceived them. How could I have possibly done this? And I'd even have their husbands getting angry with me. How could you have lied to my wife? And I'm like, I never once asked you what was in your pants. Sometimes people are just prejudiced.
But that's definitely not the case for their three teenagers, one adopted and two carried by Anunnaki. He calls himself a gestational father.
My kids are not in the closet. So when they talk about us with their friends or their teachers, you know, they have two dads. And my one daughter gets into details of what type of dad, you know, the gestational dad, the seahorse dad. And, well, wait a minute, they had a C-section? Well, that means they're a woman. Oh, and she'll be the first to correct them. No. You don't understand gender identity. So that does take a lot of bravery because you're going to now be put in the same category with all the other marginalized people. They gave up their own privilege, I guess would be the only way to describe it.
Anunnaki is fighting for acceptance of intersex people as biologically intersex and not a male or a female with a disorder. He's starting an organization with the goal of granting intersex kids wishes, like the Make-A-Wish Foundation, and he advocates for parents waiting on their intersex kids to express their gender identity and not performing genital surgery on babies. For him, acceptance included having his birth certificate legally changed from female to intersex, something that's not available in Florida as of today.
For me, being the first in Colorado to get that intersex birth certificate really empowered me to be able to say, guess what? Not only do I exist if your mind is closed, I now legally exist even if your mind is closed. You know, it gave me a lot of empowerment from being beaten.
Well, it's just amazing how much time we both got to spend educating people when we talk to them. And the questions that come out of their mouth, that they ask questions that if they were talking to a heterosexual couple, those questions would never come out, you know? Some of the things that we've been asked and everything.
Mm-hmm.
What's in our pants?
Who's bigger?
How do you have sex? And everything, you know, you just don't. We get asked questions that normally you don't ask people.
Do you ever feel like it's unfair that you have to teach everyone about something that you were born as? Like, why is that your job?
When I first came out, yes, I was pissed off like heck. I'm like, what the hell? As things unfolded by the time 2015 came around, you know, I'd met more people. I talked for the first time at our church. To see the faces in the audience and to see the light bulbs turn on in people's heads and to see the tears in a grown man's eyes when they hear that you've been assigned wrong at birth, and you could see the empathy in their face of, oh my God, I can't even imagine being brought up a girl and being a boy. I cannot imagine not educating now. I love it. It's my passion.
This is What It's Like, a production made possible by the supporters of WJCT. This episode was based on a conversation recorded by StoryCorps in Jacksonville, Florida. It was produced by me, Lindsay Kilbride, with editing by Jessica Palumbo. And some of this episode's music is by our intern, Al Pete. Subscribe to What It's Like to hear more stories, like this one.
You have one of your soldiers laying there, and you have the person that is trying to kill your soldiers on the opposite side.